broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for January the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We want to be that light on the hill, once again, ladies and gentlemen, for the nations to understand the true principles of liberty. Free markets, supply and demand, oh yeah, checks and balances, gotta love it. Biblical realities and truths, gotta dig it. Constitutional currency, amen to that. Eldon Stahl on your radio with me. He's the field coordinator in my area for the John Birch Society, doing a phenomenal job. He's always with us once a month, 2 hours of hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, thank you so much. Great to be here, Sam.
All right. I teased the topic last hour when I mentioned that Belgium no longer recommending Moderna vaccines for anybody under 31 years old. They say the problem is it creates too much risk of heart inflammation. Glad the Belgium folks are getting the truth. I wish that America would double down and tell the truth for a change, huh? Yeah, they also say the Earth's core is rapidly cooling. They say that in USA Today. How do they know that, number one? And number two, if the Earth's core is rapidly cooling, do we got to worry as much as we thought about global warming? Just wondering. How redneck and dumb am I, scientifically speaking? It's amazing how they get it wrong on so many topics. They told you the experimental vaccines were safe and effective and highly protective, and now that's not true at all. And we told you from the beginning it wasn't true, but they said you didn't know. We're going to block you for fake news. Now the question is, are we going to block those fake news folks that blocked us for fake news when we turned out being the real news and they lied and got caught? Now, how's that all work? I'm just wondering. Anyway, now Dr. Meryl Nass, a female doctor, is being forced to undergo a psychiatric exam. She's lost her license. Why? They say that she peddled, as a doctor, COVID misinformation. And it seems that if you don't support vaccinations, ladies and gentlemen, these days you must be stopped. Art Moore wrote the article in WND.com. The New American has an article about it as well. A Maine medical licensing board, that's in the state of Maine, is temporarily suspended the license of a veteran physician for allegedly spreading misinformation about COVID-19. So they're conducting a 30-day investigation, which requires her to go undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Dr. Meryl Nass has been a board-licensed physician for more than 40 years, and she was the subject of two complaints based on her statements that the vaccines have serious safety issues and are ineffective at stopping transmission and protection. She then promoted hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, etc., and she said they're the solutions, not the expensive treatments the government's peddling. But now there's a 5-page order addressed to Dr. Nass, and they explain why they think they have the authority to mandate her undergoing a psychiatric evaluation. This was all peddled on national public radio. And the board said that, quote, in the interests of public health and safety, it may compel a physician to submit to a mental or physical examination upon a complaint or an allegation that the physician is unable to practice medicine with reasonable skill and with safety in mind. In a response on her blog, Nass says the board is attempting to abridge her constitutional rights. The debate rages on. The board has apparently realized they do not have the evidence to convict me of anything, she says, so that they are now going on a fishing expedition, asking for a list of every patient I've seen over the last 6 months and much more. It's a witch hunt. Nass pointed out that there's not been a single complaint by a patient, not one. She has never been accused of malpractice in her 40-year career, not once. And she's well known for successfully treating very challenging cases of illness. And so is spreading, quote, COVID misinformation, a psychological issue. They say the board has tried to turn my exemplary care of patients into a charge of negligence. They're trying to make you believe that I'm psychiatrically ill. Nash says it seems that if you don't support vaccinations, well, everything you do must be wrong if you don't go along with their vaccine lies. What about the patients who want their COVID treated with methods other than those prescribed by the NIH, the WHO, et cetera, et cetera? The board wants to cut off these patients' access, and they want to give me no choice to help them. The board tripped over this one, she says. And now here's the rest of the story that I think is really important. So here's what happened. She disclosed, this Dr. Nash disclosed in a briefing to lawmakers. She was forced to lie because there was a high-risk patient who needed ivermectin. Oh, I'm sorry, hydroxychloroquine in this case. And what happened is that she prescribed the drug, and then the pharmacy said, what do you need this drug for? And so she told a pharmacist a lie about the condition. She said, I lied and said the patient had Lyme disease, which is another legitimate reason to get this drug. And the reason she said she lied is because otherwise the pharmacist would have rejected her prescription for the patient. So she lied to protect, and she said it should not be necessary for her to lie since hydroxychloroquine is licensed without restriction, but the government in bed with the pharmacies would have shut her down. So she lied to get the patient the medication the patient desperately needed. Even the AMA Code of Ethics, ladies and gentlemen, says duty to the patient is the doctor's primary responsibility. But I think that they tripped over this one because, okay, Eldon, what do you say about this one?
Well, where is the accountability for the CDC that lies? Where's the accountability for Fauci that lies? Now they're forcing and trapping physicians into lying to save the lives of their patients and then throwing them under the bus. That seems like a very corrupt thing. You know, I've also learned that over this time, it seems like the term public health and safety is really kind of like when you talk about the government schools. So they call them public schools, but really they're government schools. So we talk about public health, really. They say somebody's a threat to public health and safety. It's a threat to the health and safety of the government and their narrative. And that's really the crime, essentially, that this woman, this physician has committed. And it's just a thought crime. So we're bringing in really what happened in the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, Soviet means council. It was a rule by councils. And this is, you know, this unaccountable council that's going to try somebody without really due process for something that is just illegitimate.
Ladies and gentlemen, even the AMA Code of Ethics says duty to the patient is the doctor's primary responsibility. Do you see now, ladies and gentlemen, why no physician is going to oppose whatever the mainstream thinking is? This is why so many people have died. Physicians simply realize that they are not, I repeat, they are not allowed to challenge the narrative. Ladies and gentlemen, that's reality. I'm just telling you, that's what's going on, right? And we got to really realize that. You say, well, how come doctors aren't speaking out? Because they lose their licenses. Their careers are completely destroyed. Their credibility is really barbecued. And everything they've worked for their whole lives. They might have massive student debt as a physician still. They might, now this doctor for 41 years probably doesn't have student debt, but I'm just saying, how many physicians are willing to go out on a limb and challenge this narrative where they know you're going to be barbecued, now forced to undergo a psychiatric evaluation? Okay, even the AMA Code of Ethics says that, the patient's primary here, but when Dr. Nash looks to the patient, even lies on behalf of the patient to get medication that's necessary, without the lie they wouldn't be able to get, And now you see why no physician's willing to take this on, right? Anyway, there you have it. I just find this story shocking. And the only two people that I've really seen have big stories on it that are mainstream news to some degree would be WND.com and The New American. There's been a lot of other people that have reported on it in, what do you call them, new media sites and everything else, and I'm grateful for that. But really, where's the mainstream press on this one? Because here's what Dr. Nass says. I'll answer any question anytime about how to treat patients for COVID. I have experience big time in it, and I'm willing to testify anytime, anywhere to anybody to document the truth and put the truth on the record. She's ready to take them on, Eldon.
Well, that's great. She's certainly a brave person. We need more people like that.
I agree, that's great, but there's thousands of doctors willing to do the same thing, and the government's been able to, in bed with the CIA-driven mainstream press, has been able to really shut everybody down who opposes them thus far. There's been a few cases that we hear Dr. Pierre Corey testifying before Congress, Dr. Pierre Corey documenting that Congress is getting ivermectin, even though they let the rest of the nation feel like it's horse poop. We get blips of truth. They don't have ultimate control, but they have enough control right now to where thousands of doctors who are telling the truth and going against Anthony Fauci are flat out shut down. All their careers are being questioned. They're forced to go undergo psychiatric evaluations, or they lose their licenses, or whatever the case may be. It is tragedy, ladies and gentlemen. Do you see now why no physician is going to oppose what the mainstream press claims? And that's why so many people have died as well, ladies and gentlemen. All right, quick pause. We got a whole lot more to discuss with Eldon Stahl in seconds.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Eldon Stahl with me, John Burt's Society, JBS.org, doing a phenomenal job. The New American Magazine, thenewamerican.com. December the 12th, 2021, ladies and gentlemen, was a great day. You know why? Because The New American Magazine launched a new and vastly improved what they call Freedom Index, and they've added congressional scorecards to the mix. This is really, in my opinion, huge breaking news. All right, the Freedom Index, I've known and used for years. You say, Sam, what's that? You go to the New American, you pop in your congressman or your senator's name, or state or whatever, and you can look at the Freedom Index. And it's basically a number that's boiled down of, hey, all the votes are tallied up in relation to their constitutionality. And then you get 100 if you're perfectly constitutional. Well, no one's really perfectly constitutional because, again, some of it comes down to opinion. The JBS has their kind of view and their matrix to look at it. Then say, for example, a Ron Paul who gets a very high score might think slightly different on something. And so, you know, Ron Paul or some of these great guys might get a 96 or a 97 or a 98 or a 95 or whatever. Because these Freedom Index is really good, but they've now added these congressional scorecards to the mix. It's they call this thing the Freedom Index is an educational resource provided by the New American Magazine. We do not endorse or oppose candidates. The Freedom Index is intended to inform the American people, candidates, and elected officials about the rights and freedoms protected by the Constitution of the United States. Anyway, they go on. This is great stuff. Eldon, let's start there.
Yeah, this is a real exciting tool. To have a nice, mass distribution-friendly type of publication that you can download directly about your congressman and your U.S. senator and distribute it to all over your congressional district, all over your state, that's just so, so useful. To be able to inform people briefly about how they voted based upon the Constitution. If we're going to restore the Constitution, we've got to have an educated group of voters, electorate, as they call it. So if you go to thefreedomindex.org, that's a new webpage, thefreedomindex.org, there's not enough time for me to explain everything about it, but there is this little yellow rectangle in there says user guide. If you click on that, there's a nice video, has a step-by-step pictures of how to download all these, customize them, get them in different formats, how to print them out, all different things. But this is a very, very powerful tool that anybody can use. And it's on 8.5 by 11 paper too. So you can print it from home. If you got a desk jet, laser, probably better. And you can see how they voted in the last 6 months. And also there's QR codes, which I know you mentioned, but
no, hold on where now. You can... So if you know that your QR code is from a legitimate source, if I give you a piece of paper from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and I say, look, scan this code to donate to me, you know that it's right. Okay. So don't just be afraid of QR codes. Scan every code on the planet that you don't know where it comes from. It was the point of last hour, just so people have context. I warned that be careful if you scan QR codes, it could be a scam. But remember, yeah, if you get it from the right sources, it's okay. Just don't scan all the codes. You don't know where they come from. Right.
Yeah. So there's a couple of QR codes on there. One of them is, see their lifetime history. So however long they've been in Congress, because these congressional scorecards, they only have 6 votes. Floor votes in the last 6 months. Well, that's a snapshot, but it's nice to get a more broad picture of how they voted constitutionally. And so you can see that. There's another one on there that'll take you to, you might ask, well, how do I really know if something's constitutional or not? Well, it'll take you to our Constitution is the Solution 6-part video series. So it explains, and you can go through that on your own. It's free. You can just watch it online. And really get a good feel for that. You can even put, if you want people that get this scorecard, if you want them to contact somebody locally, you can put a name, a phone number, address, or email address, excuse me, in there if you want. Don't have to, but we've had great success with this in years past, is a similar concept. And Congressman, well, if they don't vote constitutionally, they really don't like it. They find all kinds of excuses to try to get rid of it and get people not to pay attention to it. But on the other hand, if their scores are good, they have their staff, you know, making copies themselves and saying, hey, look how well I did. So it's kind of fun.
Let's do kind of a case study, Eldon. If you can look up Rand Paul as kind of a point, we'll look up 2 senators. Okay. And we'll look them up in the same state. It's not my state or your state, but it's Kentucky. And I want to look up Rand Paul, the junior senator in Kentucky. See what he gets. Okay. And then I want to look up his colleague. What's his name?
Mike Lee?
No, we're talking about
Mitch McConnell.
If... Yeah, look up old Mitch. And it, so let's compare Rand and Mitch to kind of give people an understanding of what it is. Now, while Eldon's kind of looking that stuff up in our real case study, I want to kind of double down and tell you that the Freedom Index and this scorecard rates members of Congress based on their adherence, ladies and gentlemen, to constitutional principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, national sovereignty, and a traditional foreign policy of avoiding foreign entanglements. Think about that for a starter, for a guideline, for a litmus test, if you will, on the constitutionality of those whom we elect and who swear an oath to the supreme law of our land, the Constitution for the United States of America, those who represent us. That's the guide in my mind that we want to use. And again, I mentioned that every politician might have their own opinion. You know, for example, the New American Scorecard might, you know, rate somebody on this, and Rand Paul would give you another reason, and both of them have constitutional make sense or mojo, if you will. And so nobody's going to get a perfect score. It's very rare to, because there is a little bit of discussion about opinion. Rand might say, I know some of this bill isn't good, but I voted for it for this reason because overall it's better, whereas the scorecard might show it as a bad vote, even though Rand could justify it as a good vote. There's a little bit of minutia there is the point, folks. Nobody's perfect. But I'm telling you right now, really, day in and day out, if you look at this scorecard, if you look at this Freedom Index, you get a real handle on how they're representing you in government. Eldon?
Yeah, and it is becoming more difficult to choose votes to score people on because they lump a lot of things into one bill a lot of times. But they try their best to find votes which are as clear as possible, showing somebody's understanding of the Constitution and constitutional limits. So the last scorecard gets 6 votes in the last 6 months, roughly. You've got Mitch McConnell. They either give you an X or a green check mark. The X is kind of unconstitutional vote. Check mark is constitutional.
It yeah, you're either in the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Shame, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. There's a column cost per household, so that's interesting on there. But Mitch McConnell, he got 2 green check marks and 4 X's. So that means about 1/3 of at least during that 6 months on the scorecard, he got constitutional.
And that's that's why it's a little bit of an improvement on the former New American Freedom Index that we used to have, because we used to just get a number. It used to just say 66%. Now they're literally showing you why they're giving that with check marks relating to the votes that they've selected. So you still can get that number understanding, right? But yet you get more clarity about the details there. That's why it's a new and improved version of the Freedom Index, right?
Well, the cost per household is something that's not in the Freedom Index itself. You can still download the Freedom Index and get that's for all of Congress, and you can see more. It's 10 votes in the Freedom Index, and also, you know, you can see all across the country how they voted. But this is nice, an individualized scorecard too, to get a snapshot.
So think of the index as the core calculation of where they stand. Think of the scorecard as kind of an analytics breakdown, right?
Yeah, in a sense, you know, the Freedom Index is more of a, it does have vote descriptions a little more in detail, but the scorecard is a little more brief, but it does have some description of the vote and what the bill was about and things like that. But it's just, you know, a briefer version. In a sense that you can share with others a lot more easily, a lot more affordably. You can download that for free too, by the way. It's not like, you know, somebody like Rand Paul got all green check marks on the latest scorecard. He probably got all pluses on the Freedom Index too, but.
Hang tight, like, Eldon Stahl with us. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
With inflation tearing at the American workers' buying power, the deadly Afghanistan withdrawal, global crisis in Ukraine, Iran, North Korea, and our border with Mexico, President Biden tells the American people Wednesday that he has exceeded most expectations.
Outperformed what anybody thought would happen. We have made enormous progress. You mentioned the number of deaths from COVID. Well, it was three times that.
Democrats failed in their effort to change the Senate's 60-vote filibuster rule, with Democrat Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona siding with all Republicans in the evenly split Senate. 52 lawmakers opposed the rule change, while 48 all Democrats were in favor. Senator Manchin on the Senate floor.
One party to exert complete control in the Senate with only a simple majority will only pour fuel on the fire of political whiplash and dysfunction that is tearing this nation apart.
USA Radio News.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if, like a lot of people, you just have a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing program. There are more than 400,000 members now, and they love it. In fact, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to that of health insurance. And MediShare really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. It's been around more than 25 years. Members have shared more than $4 billion of each other's medical bills. Plus, MediShare is for you. It has saved its members billions by advocating on their behalf. Best of all, the typical savings for a family is around $6,000 a year. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. MediShare has a 98% customer satisfaction rating, and you are invited to be part of it. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The NCAA rule to allow transgender women to compete with biological women is being opposed by a former Olympic gold medalist.
Caitlyn Jenner is speaking out about University of Pennsylvania transgender swimmer Leah Thomas. The former Olympian saying Thomas competing in women's swimming is not good for the sport due to uneven competition. The NCAA is set to discuss transgender participation in sports on Thursday. Jenner suggesting stricter rules should be put in place for transgender athletes. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
China's central bank lowered its lending rates, stepping in to support a slowing economy that has been weighed down by the property market during a politically important year for leader Xi Jinping. The People's Bank of China said Thursday it cut its five-year loan prime rate to 4.6% from 4.65%, the first cut since April of 2020. We are USA Radio News.
Eldon Stahl on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. John Birch Society, Sam Bushman with him, talking about this incredible improved at the New American Freedom Index / scorecard, thefreedomindex.org. The Freedom Index is an educational resource provided by the New American Magazine, folks. It's intended to inform the American people, candidates, and everybody about the voting records of those who serve us and have sworn an oath to the Constitution. How faithful are they to it is the question. The Freedom Index rates members of Congress based on their adherence to constitutional principles of limited government, fiscal responsibility, national sovereignty, and a traditional foreign policy of avoiding foreign entanglements, ladies and gentlemen. Important, important stuff. And you were mentioning right before the pause, Eldon, about this scorecard, how it ought to be used, etc.
Yes, you should organize with others in your congressional district, in your state, to get these out to five key groups of people. Of course, active voters would be a first one. Another would be people on central political committees, depending on what party your representative or senator is part of. Also, precinct committee people, depending on your state, what they're called, different names, delegates sometimes they're called. State legislators, that's usually a fairly small group. And the largest group is, kind of largest group, is donors. You can go to fec.gov, download the donor list. I guess I'd probably just go with the people from your state that have donated to the candidate and just send them The FEC rules don't allow you to send out any type of advertisement, but these scorecards do not have any advertisements, just purely educational. Anybody can do that. But we're forming committees all across the country to distribute these, and these are powerful. You can make Congress constitutional again with this.
And the idea, too, is when you have your user groups, a lot of people around the country have meetups or whatever term you want to call them. In Utah, we have a monthly meeting that goes on and everything. What you can do, too, is you can invite those based on the scorecards. For example, if Rand Paul, for example, got green check marks on all six of the votes, you know, you might invite him and say, hey, we want you to come and speak to us. We want to thank you for your constitutionality. Awesome, right?
Yeah.
You might also,
definitely,
though, go back and if you have a bad scorecard, let's go ahead and quickly do Utah. Let's compare Mike Lee and whacked out Mitt Romney. Let's compare those two really quick. But what you would do is might invite Mike Lee and Mitt Romney and say, you know what? We're looking at your scorecards, gentlemen, and there's 500 of us that are meeting, and we'd like you to come and explain yourselves now. Or better yet, we'd like you to come and listen to us instead of us listening to you for a change. And maybe we can tell you why we're not very happy with your scorecard. And you can literally dig into specific legislative pieces that way and really talk about the constitutionality of one's votes and say, look, you know what? You're going to be accountable to us. You work for us. If you don't show up, we're going to push to replace you. Now, I get it if you email us back and say there's a conflict. Can I come next month? I get it if you can't. You know, we're not trying to be crazy about this. But if you're refusing to meet with us over and over and over, and there's 500 of us constituents, for instance, who want to create accountability and you won't ever show up, we're going to look to replace you. And if you show up and can't explain yourself constitutionally, or you don't agree that, man, I made some mistakes and I'm going to change, we'll give you a chance to change. We're not trying to be dictators here. We'll give you a chance to improve, like any employee review. We'll give you a chance, but it better change, or we'll find somebody else who will do a better job. Okay, and polite but direct clarity on this is vital. All right, what's Utah look like, Eldon?
Well, Mitt Romney is pulling in at one check mark out of six, possible six. So that's 17% of the last scorecard.
So let me get this right. 83% he's betrayed his oath of office.
Yeah, on this scorecard, right. So that's actually worse than Mitch McConnell.
By a long shot, I might add.
Yep. And then you've got Mike Lee, who has all check marks. So good for Mike Lee.
So you got Mike Lee that's 100%. And again, I don't think it's perfect. Everybody has to, you know, all these analytics are a little bit subjective. I want to be clear about that. But at the same time, I look at this, the stark contrast between the two elected officials in Utah, very, very telling. So you might call Mike Lee and say, come and speak. Thank you, sir. Okay. Even if you think Mike Lee's made some mistakes along the way, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't want to just attack everybody. What we want to do is raise the bar. And what we want to do is call Mitt Romney and say, you know what, why don't you come and speak to us? We're not very happy with this, sir. 17% is horrible. 83% betrayal when it comes to constitutional principles. Now, even if you say I don't agree with the JBS on their scorecard, fine. But as a whole, the question is constitutionality. The difference is so stark in this case that you got to say, Mitt, you're not keeping your oath, my friend. You're not doing what you promised us you would do. And I think alerting the public to this reality is the key. Holding them accountable is the key. Don't be belligerent. Don't be crazy. It won't do you any good. But be polite but insistent. Right, Eldon?
Yeah. You know, really, the Constitution is not some self-enforcing document. The Congress follows the Constitution to the extent that we understand and demand adherence to it. That's our job. And so you remember the story I told about when Kristi Noem came to town when she was in the U.S. House. And she told all these things, oh, well, this spending isn't sustainable. I'm working to solve that. But after she got done and, you know, people applauded this this presentation, had all these people say, well, what are you going to do to send me money in my favorite cause over and over? And she said, well, I'm working very hard on that. So we get the representation that we demand.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this scorecard can be used very easily. You can look up anybody you want to. Is there a state summary, too, of how well my state's doing? If I've got, for example, in Utah, I think there's four congressmen and two senators, so six, quote, representatives at the federal level, if you will. Is there anything that kind of breaks down how my state's doing?
Like for Congress or for your legislature?
My state Congress just in general, or my federal government Congress just in general.
Yeah, we don't, but yeah, you'd have to print out or at least download the six, you know, two senators and
what you could do is total up all their scores and divide by the number six and get an average. And then you could look at it and say, who's bringing it down? Who don't bring me down. You could see who's bringing me down, right?
Yep. Yeah, I did that. Mitt Romney, of course, is bringing Utah down quite a bit on the average. Mike Lee's pretty high. I think Curtis was also got all check marks. But the other ones just had, I think, one X. So Burgess Owens and
Burgess so. Certainly one of the better ones. Far from perfect, but doing a better job than most, for sure. You know, so you got to dig into this, folks, and you got to learn. I don't want to say who to target because I don't want my comments to be taken out of context, right? But you want to say who should we, you know, really try to help become more constitutional? And or to some degree, you politely need to kind of say who is beyond help? Who do we just need to look at and say, man, there's a better way here. We've got to jettison this person. And I would say Mitt Romney's there. Look, this guy's been a politician virtually his whole life. He was the governor of Massachusetts. This guy's been a bad apple for a long time. I don't think you can help Mitt because I think he's so dug in that he thinks he knows better than you. And he's not really interested in what you have to say. And so that's an example where I'd say, look, we've got to just replace that guy with somebody who could do better. And with each person, you've got to give them the chance, give them a little bit of grace. They're not perfect. It's hard. It's difficult. There's a lot of lobbying pressure. I get it. Many in our society grow up not really even understanding their oath of the Constitution either. We got to give some grace for them to kind of get their sea legs, if you will, under them. At the same time, you can't wait too long or you just become part of the problem too, Eldon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we've had quite a few instances of people changing how they vote based upon distributing how they voted based upon the Constitution. So it's not like this is, you know, all some scenario of, well, throw them all out. And there's one instance that's detailed from Montana that Constitution is a Solution series that people can watch online. But yeah, sometimes we've certainly had stories of like back in the day with George McGovern distributed his voting record, and the people of South Dakota were like, wait a second, this guy talks pretty conservative when he gets home, but he's not voting too good. So they got a new governor, or excuse me, new senator.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious. It's not something to take lightly. It's something to dig into. It's something to learn about. Use it as a resource. And there's other indexes as well that you can dovetail this with, too. If you get criticism and say, oh, the John Birch Society, they're very extreme or they have their own agenda. I don't agree with any of that. I think they're top-notch stellar in their work that they've done literally for decades. They're one of the true freedom-fighting groups that have been in it forever, and they've remained true the whole time no matter what kind of pushback, no matter what kind of abuse they've taken over the years. They've remained true and stellar. But I digress. I'm just telling you, even if you say, well, I want to get a broader picture, fine. Go look at other places. There's all kinds of groups that have indexes as well. For example, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, has their own index from a taxpayer's point of view. You've got gun groups from a Second Amendment point of view. You've got, and you can put all that together and you develop an incredible picture of who represents you. Are they doing a good job? If they are, wonderful. If not, what are you going to do about it? Eldon Stahl with me. I want to talk more about the Concon lie in seconds on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Eldon Stahl, field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org. We're talking about these incredible Freedom Index scorecards from the New American. And the New American has launched these improved scorecards and everything else to help you get a handle on where your elected officials stand. Are they representing you well? If so, fantastic. If not, you got some work to do, people. Get involved. Work with your user groups and everybody else and meetups and spread the word and hold them to account. The freedomindex.org is where you go, right, Eldon?
Yeah, to find the scorecards. If you want to get involved, nothing happens unless we make it happen. So if you go to jbs.org, you can find your local coordinator, your local maybe section leader, and they can walk you through the process of starting a committee to hold your congressman accountable through these scorecards. It's very powerful. You can get involved.
The point is, when they feel the heat, they see the light, ladies and gentlemen, and you can have facts at your side to help you get it done. All right, there you have it. The ConCon is a big scam, ladies and gentlemen. I know there's a lot of constitutionalists, a lot of so-called patriots pushing for it, but I'm against the constitutional conventions. I believe it's the people's misguided push, Eldon.
Yeah, definitely. And they're really coming out in the open, the people that are pushing for a ConCon, on saying, you know, well, our movement is plateauing right now. So we need to, we've always told the state legislators that these applications for a convention have to be the same wording so that Congress limits the agenda of any convention to these specific topics, et cetera, et cetera. But even though we said that for decades, we're going to throw that all wayside. We've suddenly found this new way to count to 34 states to magically, say we trigger a convention. So now we know, and they're coming out in the open, that their real object was really just changing the Constitution instead of, trying to solve some problem that we have in the United States.
You need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, too, there's a lot of people who don't believe that it'll run off the rails. They believe that they can really contain this thing. They really believe that they can address issues that are of great concern. They really honestly believe that they can put the right people in places, their delegation to attend such a constitutional convention. There's a lot of people who really believe that it's possible to come out the other side better off than we are now. And so you need to be careful, too, because a lot of people know it's a con. It's really a goal to change the Constitution or change the fundamental affairs of America. But there's a lot of people that genuinely believe that we can really do this in a meaningful, productive way. Don't be too abusive to those who genuinely believe that. They may be wrong, but many of them have great intentions. I've really talked to people till I'm blue in the face about this. They just won't listen to me. I don't think it'll go well at all. Who the heck are you going to be your delegates, first of all? I mean, you tell me, you give me a list of 100 great delegates, and then I might be impressed. Until then, I'm just not. Okay? And we're not going to be able to choose our delegate. We're not going to be able to put our people there in the first place. That's number one. Number two, how do you know that it won't run off the rails and change into a wholesale throwing out of what we currently call the supreme law of our land? How do we know on the other side it'll end up better? We don't. But there are those who genuinely believe that we will. And those people are misguided. That's why I say, the misguided push here. I don't believe they're bad people in most cases. I believe they're just misguided. They think they're so optimistic that they're ignoring the realities of the situation, as far as I can tell, Eldon.
Yeah, really, this is a big con game, though. It comes down to, you have these discussions with these people, and it comes down to, well, I trust Robert Nadelson because he is the somehow the expert on this. Well, he's tried to establish himself, but look at what he's saying now. Okay, he's saying that in order to get to 34 states, we should consider what he calls plenary applications. In other words, applications, just unlimited applications toward a limited subject convention. Somehow, all of a sudden, he's found this out after decades of people saying, well, no, they have to be the same wording. But then if you even look into these six states, which he says have plenary applications, general applications, five of them are for something that has nothing to do with, for example, a balanced budget amendment. You've got one on the Bill of Rights from 1789, on the Civil War. You've got three of them. You've got one on direct election of U.S. senators. That's just a bald-faced lie that, you know, these are plenary applications, for one thing. So he's, you know, it's this whole real con game that these people at the top are trying to play on people. And then if you don't call them out on it, people just believe them. So it's really hard to have a meaningful discussion with them until you show them that these people are just they're pushing for a convention. That's all they want. Now
one of the greatest arguments they'll make to try to get you to believe that it's legitimate is they'll say, Sam, it is constitutional, isn't it? Don't you support the Constitution? And my response to that is, yes, I support the Constitution. There's many ways to accomplish something. I'll give you a simple example to make the point. The Constitution provides for us to declare war. Very rarely would I use that declaration of war, though. Very rarely does it really make constitutional sense. Very rarely does it pass what I would call just war muster. Very rarely does it make sense. But yes, it's an extreme measure that can be taken, that we seem to take all the time right now. We haven't done it since World War II, okay? This is what I mean. But yet we've been in war after war after war, showing the problem. We need to chain down people with the Constitution. If we're going to go to war, let's declare it. Let's get it done. Let's get it out. Let's have defined objectives. Otherwise, we ought not be there. We need to avoid these foreign entanglements. We need to jettison these wars. They're not just. They're not moral. They're not. Well, the same thing's true with the con-con. Yes, a con-con's there for extreme situations. I don't even think we're close to there yet. And none of the states can even agree of why they should be there, is Eldon's point. And so I'm just saying we need to be very careful. Just because something's in the Constitution, that doesn't mean that I have to embrace it. Okay? I understand that it's an option, but I also understand that it should be very rarely, rarely, rarely used. And I don't think we're even close to needing a con-con. That, to me, would be if the states were completely falling apart and we had anarchy everywhere, then you get a con-con to try to bring us back. I get it. We're not even close to that, Eldon.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, well, a sledgehammer is in my list of tools that I have in my garage. So why are you saying I shouldn't use a sledgehammer to fix, my door that's jammed or whatever? Well, you know, not every problem merits the use of a sledgehammer. And so we're talking about using the right tool for the right job, not just saying, well, we have the tool, therefore we should use it for every thing under the sun. Another thing that certainly should be alarming is we've got a guy on the legal advisory board of the Convention of States, probably the most well-funded and active group pushing for a convention today. This guy, Robert George, has co-authored a conservative constitution. In other words, a completely new constitution, which literally guts the Second Amendment. If that should not be alarming to people, I don't know what would be. After this group has said, well, we're not going to touch, we're not going to rewrite the Constitution, and we're especially not going to rewrite the Second Amendment. But you can find this. Basically, he says in this rewritten Second Amendment that the United States may enact and enforce reasonable regulations on bearing of arms and the keeping of arms by persons determined with due process can be dangerous to themselves and others, and that we can only have the right to keep and bear arms of the sort ordinarily used for self-defense and recreational purposes. So, okay, it doesn't get rid of the Second Amendment, but any protection that the Founding Fathers intended would be gone. He also wants to get rid of the Electoral College. So this is supposedly the conservative Constitution. These are, this is real things.
It all comes down to what you believe in, and that's kind of my point, ladies and gentlemen. Be very, very careful. Even the Founding Fathers, when they went to a convention, it didn't turn out like people expected and stuff like that. And so if you think in today's environment with the leaders we have today that it's going to go well, I believe you're sadly mistaken. I believe it's the people's misguided push to openly press for an unlimited convention, and that's what you'll end up with, ladies and gentlemen. You think you could put limits on it, but, hey, who's going to pay attention to your limits at the end of the day is one of the big questions about it. Yes, it's in the Constitution, but that doesn't mean that I have to, push for that answer. I think there's a lot of more peaceful answers. Nullify now is a great one to make the point. I believe in nullification at the state level, and we haven't done much of that. If we do a lot more of that, we could back off the federal government big time. All right, I would go ahead and abolish the amendment that let the senators be elected directly from the people as opposed to by state legislative bodies. That's another example of how I would make changes to bring back the checks and balances that make America great. We've got a lot of options short of a con, which really would move us in the right direction without the gargantuan risk of the con, which is a con. Final story before the end of the hour, Eldon, and I want to get to this too. The TSA is now using what they call illegals' arrest warrants as IDs to fly. So you're literally getting on a plane now where they literally make you take off half your clothes and get naked, almost, where they touch your body all over, or they take pictures of your body, depending on what, road you take through the TSA lines. And they're going to literally force you to show your ID and your name must match and all this stuff with government ID cards and everything else. But if you don't have that, if you're illegally here, you're allowed to use your criminal record now. You're allowed to use your illegality now. You're allowed to literally use arrest warrants as your documentation to fly. This is insane. We don't know who these people are based on arrest records. We don't have any. This is crazy. But now that's being used to fly all over the country for illegals. Eldon?
Yeah, we're feeling everybody down. Say, well, you might have a bomb on you. You might be doing something criminal. But, you can go through because, this is a legitimate ID that it says you have an arrest warrant or a deportation order. Or you're not even supposed to be here. That's another illustration of how the government just really is not serious about controlling our borders and, having a meaningful regulation on who comes and who goes. This is just a big farce. And so we're being treated worse than the people that are here illegally.
Yeah, so I wonder if I could get illegal arrest warrants. Then I could go ahead and use those for my, documentation too. You look at that, folks, and you just go, are you serious about this? And they're deadly serious. And the really real question is, does this become a national security credibility crisis? I mean, really, our whole national security is in jeopardy over this, in my opinion. You don't know who's getting on the plane with you at all. But it's somebody who's already got, criminal proceedings
or
whatever.
Well, they're on the radar.
Them?
Yeah.
Anyway, Eldon, I'm just shocked at what we're embracing in America today. And then we think we need a con to fix it. No, what we need to do is just stop doing stupid stuff. Okay, don't allow illegals to fly at all, first of all.
Changing the Constitution is not going to solve this stuff.
Don't allow people with criminal arrests to fly in the first place. If we just quit doing those things, we wouldn't need a con. And I don't think we need a con at all. I think there's better answers than that. So there you have it. For Eldon Stahl and Sam Bushman, thanks so much for your time today. If you want to learn more, thenewamerican.com, jbs.org, thefreedomindex.org are their websites. Our websites, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, brightyonradio.com, we declare this nation shall endure, God save the republic. Thanks, Eldon.